Hello, good morning. I suppose we're now looking ahead to what happens after June the 8th and the result of these elections. Whether they are called so-called snap elections or scheduled elections, whatever that means, all elections are an opportunity to take stock of the circumstances surrounding such an exercise. Whether they are so-called snap elections or scheduled elections, whatever this means, all elections are an opportunity to take stock of the circumstances surrounding them and exercise one's civic rights and indeed civic duty. One can be forgiven for considering personal circumstances in our choice for party or candidate. It's natural to have this attitude. One can be forgiven for a bias towards a particular political party. And this bias may be habitual, as in, oh, I've always voted for this party or the other. Or it can be familiar, as in, my parents always voted for such a party. What may be difficult to find is someone who will say and indeed do the best thing, and that is to consider all the statements of the leading figures in any party, the different manifestos, and then come to a conclusion as to where his vote should be. In my humble view, I do not see it at all bad to wait until quite close to voting time before reaching a decision. We always see so-called U-turns on manifesto statements, budgets, or policies that are proving not as promising as they were meant to be. I personally see no difficulty with this, and by implication, I cannot see difficulty with any of us changing our minds, maybe even more than once, with regards to these issues. In the not-too-distant past, the issues in any elections were fairly straightforward. I was impressed when reading that in the thick of the Second World War, that is, in 1942, Sir William Beveridge, known as the father of the welfare state, issued a report with the bland name of 1942 Report. This report was worked upon immediately after the war, as it was endorsed by both Sir Winston Churchill and Mr. Clement Attlee, that is, both the Conservative and the Labour parties. The report aimed at highlighting the so-called five giant evils that had to be overcome. It was a simple message. And by the way, Beveridge was only a civil servant, not even a politician. The five evils were disease, want, ignorance, squalor, and idleness. Translated in today's language, they would be disease, poverty, education, lack of adequate housing, and unemployment. Sounds familiar? It could be, as it's almost the same issues discussed today. But in those days, there was no NHS, and there was no national insurance, state pension, and so on. More importantly, the question of leisure and raising of living standards over and above what would be considered as minimum was not yet seen even on the radar screen, so as to generate any thoughts. Of course, in those days, radar was not yet invented, by the way. I say this because the parties now jockeying for our votes are really just playing about with these issues. One party may emphasize one or another, or do a bit of tweaking in a manner deemed better than the other. They can produce headlines, catching slogans, and try very hard to attack the opposition in any interview rather than state their own position, and so on. But at the end of the day, we tend to make our judgments on the basis of personalities and who we think we can trust. I happen to think that this is important, this question of trust. I would like to feel that I put my cross on the voting paper for the candidate I know or I trust. All this is well and good, but I wonder how much of a real democracy this is. When one party wins an election, the country is stuck with it for maybe 5 years, regardless of any of its achievements. This makes for a fraction of the population satisfied, and another at least less so. But at least every one of us has exercised his or her civic duty and voted. To me, this is very important. It is, in my view, a dereliction of duty not to vote. You make the best judgment, even if you cannot find the right candidate or the policies that are absolutely to your satisfaction. Some of my listeners may recall occasions when I expressed my views on the democratic systems we have in the world at present, and the fact that I think that while suitable for a few generations in the past, they are not suitable for our present world. To my mind, we live in a world where we need to think beyond our immediate personal needs or our immediate party affiliation or even our immediate national interest. We need to think of the world at large. I realize the limitations of such thinking and the fact that unless the whole world should share such thoughts, they cannot be usefully implemented. But this does not mean we should not begin to realize the importance of a global outlook and for all of us to see that what is good for the other is also good for us. I know this is ideal, but if we don't work towards the ideal, we will not realize our real self-worth as a human race, regardless of whether we are white or yellow or black or in which continent or country we live. The world needs this trend in our thoughts. The alternative will result in yet more conflict. Selfishness will sap the goodness within our reach. Conditions in the past did not allow for such thinking, but the world has now changed, and we need to look at ourselves as one human race. However, in the meantime, I again wish to stress the importance of never to forfeit our right to exercise our duty and our best judgment in every election. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.